I'd like to thank you all for being here. Joe's not here at the moment, so I might as well say
now. I almost forgot to put this on, so good thing I remembered. I'm glad you're all here tonight and decided to make it out. There are many other things we all could be doing, but you decided to be here, and that's very important, and I'm proud of each and every one of you for making that commitment to yourself and to the calling of your hope, which is why you're here. I wanted to spend a little time talking about endurance and what that means to us as Christians here living on earth. What does it mean to endure? Do we have to endure? Just those types of questions. So endurance here, defined by Mr. Webster, endurance is the ability to do something difficult for a long period of time. Another example, the ability to deal with pain or suffering, or both, or one or the other, that continues for an extended period of time. A third definition, the quality of continuing for a great length of time. In each one of these definitions, I see two things repeatedly over and over, right? I see being able to do something, the ability to do something, the ability to deal, the quality of continuing, and what's the other thing? Continuing, right? Time. Being able to do so for a long period of time. The ability to deal for an extended period of time, right? So there are two things here. Being able to cope, being able to get through, and doing it repeatedly, right? It's not one time. That's not endurance. Endurance is going through something for a long period of time and overcoming it continually, right? Some synonyms that are, in my opinion, really important to understand. Some synonyms of the word endurance, steadfastness, right? We know what the word steadfast means, to keep going, to not quit. Commitment. We all know what that means. We're committed to many things. I'm sure most of us are. Right? Persistence. You keep going. You don't quit. Dedication. Right. All these words are different words that mean the same thing. Just don't quit. Keep going. Keep striving. Right. So why is this important? Like I said, I've said it every lesson. I love including why is this important, because if I can't answer this, then I really don't think I should be talking about this. So why is endurance important in the life of a Christian? Well, many things in life require patience, endurance, those synonyms that I just listed, stamina, right? Endurance is important too in the life of a Christian, spiritually speaking. Right? Like I said, many of us are probably committed to other things in life, and we have patience with those. We endure certain things. Parents with the PTA meetings, other parents can be kind of hard to deal with. I totally understand that, right? But you endure. You endure that, spiritually speaking. It's also important to endure, right? Look at our spiritual life as a marathon, which is 26.2 miles. It's a race, right? Something that I probably won't be doing in my lifetime, that's for sure. But think about your spiritual life as a race, as a marathon, right? You have a goal. You have a goal, 26.2 miles. At the start of that run, okay, at the start of your marathon, the start of your race, how excited are you? Right? You're full of energy. You're excited. Your stamina's, you know, all of your bars are 100%. You're good to go, right? Spiritually speaking, think about that too. When you were raised from the waters of baptism, how excited were you? How confident were you to tell everyone, "Yeah, I was just baptized. Let me tell you, it felt great," right? Think about how zealous you were and just passionate, right? Well, at the start of a race, you'd be that way too. What about at mile 13.1? Halfway through the race, exactly one halfway through the race, halfway through your spiritual life, how are you doing? Are you still at church? Those are questions we need to be asking ourselves. I know in a real race, in a real marathon, you're getting tired, right? But you don't quit. That's not an excuse. Spiritually speaking, we may be getting tired too, but that's not an excuse to quit, right? What about at mile 26 of 26.2? 26.2 miles, and you've gone 26 of them. You have 2/10 of a mile left. I guarantee your body no matter how good a shape you're in, you're tired. You want water. You want to sit, right? You want to, just let me walk for a second, right? Spiritually speaking, we can't afford to walk for a second. I promise. All right. Comparing our spiritual life to a race, a marathon, right? Something with a goal. Athletics, if you wanted to. Comparing our spiritual life to athletics or a race, that's important. But one thing we need to keep in mind is that our spiritual life is not a 100-yard dash. It's not to see who can get there first or who can do it the prettiest on the way there. It's about when that marathon is up, when that race is up, who's going to cross the finish line, right? It's a long race. It's not short. It's a long haul. And it's so important for us to keep in mind because we can lose perspective from a day-to-day life, right? And one other thing to acknowledge is that we're competing against ourselves, right? In a race, you're competing against others, or you might be competing against yourself to beat your time from last time. But spiritually speaking, we're competing against ourselves, right? We shouldn't be comparing ourselves to other people in the church, saying, "I can do this. Why can't you?" Those types of things, right? In this spiritual race, we're competing against ourselves, we're competing against Satan, and we're competing against sin and overcoming that, continuing, enduring. Right? Kind of going along the same lines of that our spiritual race is not a 100-yard dash. It's not to see who can get there fastest, right? Along that same line, we can't spend all of our energy at once, right? I mean, that's impossible. You'll get burnt out, right? Everything in life is moderation. We need to keep that in mind as well. I've talked before about other different lessons, and I've kind of had scripture light lessons. This would definitely be a scripture heavy lesson, and I'm happy to go through these verses. I put most of them on the board, so you don't have to flip if you want, but most of them should be up here. One thing I did notice in talking about endurance and trying to study this through before I deliver it, it is really encouraging to study a topic, to come up with as many verses as I've come up with, and as many are in the Bible that I probably missed. It is so encouraging to read these and to think and put these into practice. So I hope this is beneficial to not only myself, but you as well, because it's definitely been beneficial to me. So the first verse is in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and verse 6 through 8. 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. So it says, For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Right, talking about this life. I'm getting old. That's what he's saying. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. He finished the race. He fought the good fight. He didn't give up. He endured. Enduring things in life, it's hard. It is. It's hard to fight the good fight. But that's not an excuse. Verse 8. Finally, see, this is conditional, right? Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, right? It's not just to him, but also to all who have loved his appearing, right? That's you and I, Lord willing. That's you and I. You see, in a race on this earth, there's one winner. There's one person that gets the crown. Not literally a crown, but who knows what you get. I don't know if you get money or an award or something. But when you run a race on this earth, there's one winner. But do you know what's great about our spiritual race? There's many winners. I don't like that understanding that there are many winners in life, because in life, nothing regarding spiritual things, but in life I want there to be a loser. I want to be that winner. Right? But spiritually, I don't want you to lose, and I don't want to lose either. There's many winners, right? That's what it says here in 2 Timothy. Not to me only, but to all who have loved his appearing, all who have kept going, who have fought the good fight and finished the race, right? Endured, who's continued steadfastly, not given up. So that's one verse. Here's another one, 2 Timothy 3:14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Verse 15, and that from your childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Right? One word that sticks to me out in this verse that's very important, the word continue. You must continue in the things which you've learned. Continue. Steadfast. You're not quitting. You keep going, no matter how hard it is. Right? And it is going to be hard. That's a fact. But you continue. You must continue in the things which we've learned, right? And applied to our everyday life. So another verse. This is kind of a long one. You might want to turn there if you can't see. It's pretty small. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 13. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 13. Right away we see a call to action. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Right, be strong. Be steadfast. Don't quit. Continue. Don't give up. Keep going. Right, we see that call to action. Verse 2. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In the things that you have heard from among me, many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who also be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I guarantee on the day of judgment, I want to be called a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So what does that mean for me today? That I, you, everyone in here is going to endure hardship. That's life. Verse 4. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Verse 5. And if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Verse 9, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of change, but the word of God is not chained. Therefore, verse 10 is key. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. See, like I said earlier, this is, if we want that crown, right, if we want to be called good soldier, many people, I assume everyone in this world wants to be called that. They want that crown, right? But it's hard to get. It's hard to get. And to do that, you have to endure. It is conditional, right? We can't give in. We can't give in. Let's turn verse 11. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. Verse 12 is key. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we endure, it's conditional. It is conditional. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Right? This is really important stuff. It really is. Let's look at Romans 2. It's a little bigger here. Romans 2 and verse 7. Verses 5 through 7. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who, verse 6, will render to each one according to his deeds. Verse 7. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good, seek glory, honor, immortality. There again, same application. I want glory. I want honor from God. I want immortality. I want to live spiritually forever. I want to be with him. Well, what do I need to do then? Who does what? Verse 7. Eternal life to those who make it, who decide to become a Christian early on, and he's very proud of them, and just can't keep going for the rest of his life. No. How about doesn't live according to God, right? Who lives in sin his whole life and then decides to come around when he's old and then he falls away? No. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good, enduring things, being steadfast in the scriptures, not quitting. I know I sound like a broken record, but this point is huge. We cannot quit spiritually, right? And you are all here because you haven't quit. And I thank you for that. Another couple verses. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Paul's talking here. And he says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Right, what do you think of when you think of that? I think of a literal race here that one receives it, right? Well, I've already said, spiritually speaking, we can all receive the crown. But let's look what Paul says. Do you not know that all who run in the race, and only one receives a prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. If we are truly striving to be good Christians, if we are truly striving to be the Christians God wants, to receive that crown, run in such a way you obtain it. What does that mean? What does that mean? That means not quitting. That means not giving up. Keep running. Keep running. Verse 25. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, right? He's talking the thing of this world, the race of this world, right? But who are we? But we, us, me and you, for an imperishable crown. We're all in a race, spiritually speaking. If you are a soldier of Christ, if you are a son of God, you're in a race right now. And the prize, we don't know when that's going to happen. We don't know when it is. So that's our call to keep running, right? We have a goal. We don't know where it is. We don't know where that goal will end. We don't know when we'll stop running. But for now, we'll keep running. Right? And then verse 26. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Right? We have a sure hope. We're told not to run with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. Verse 27. But I discipline my body and bring it to subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself become disqualified. Right? It's an important passage here that Paul's talking about. Verse 26 is key too. Run thus not with uncertainty, not to be uncertain. Right? We have a goal. That's why you decided to become a Christian, because you have a goal. You want to make it to heaven. Keep that goal. Keep that goal and keep running. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35 through 39. Hebrews chapter 10, 35 through 39. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Verse 36. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and not tarry. Right? That's our goal that I was talking about. That's the 26.2 miles. Right? He will not tarry. He's coming. Jesus is coming. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Look at verse 35 and 36 one more time. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. What I think about when I read that verse is right when I came out of the waters being baptized. I can't remember if this is a fact, but I remember something about this. Right after I was baptized, those who were present here, there's probably 30 people or so, it was on a Monday, we went to Dairy Queen, and I don't remember if this is true, so don't hold me to it, but I think I might have told the waitress I'd just been baptized. Because I was so zealous, I was so passionate, right? That's what the writer of Hebrews, more than likely Paul, was talking about. Don't cast away your confidence. Right? Don't lose that hope. Don't lose it. Because it has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, right? Not for a day, not for one moment, for your life. This is a continual thing, right? You may receive the promise, which is the crown, that imperishable crown that you and I are all going for. And we can all obtain it. And then verse 39. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe of the saving of the soul. Hebrews 12, 1 through 11. This was one of the ones I'm going to have you turn to just because it was a little lengthy. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 11. The writer of Hebrews says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight in the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Right? Run patiently. Keep going. Keep going. It's not a sprint. It's not a 100-yard dash. Not who can get there first. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, verse 2, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, Jesus endured. That's someone we need to look to as our example. Jesus endured very, very hard things. Right? That's who we look to. Verse 3. For consider him who endured, Jesus, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Right? The writer of Hebrews here is saying, hey, I know life can get hard. And think about Jesus when you're going through hard times. Think about Jesus and think about how much he went through. Right? Such hostility from people around him, being put on a cross, being spat upon. I mean, that's just so disrespectful. But he endured for me and for you so that we have hope of that crown that's imperishable. Verse 4. For you have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of the spirits and live? For they indeed a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Right? It's talking about endurance, more importantly, the first few verses we read, right? To keep on enduring. And the point here is to look to Jesus when we have something in our life going on. The point here is to look to Jesus, right? Let's look at James 1, 21 through 25, and I have that on the screen if you can read it. So James 1, 21 through 25, it says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Right? Don't forget the person you were when you were baptized into Christ. Don't forget that person. Don't forget that person. Because that person wants to strive to be the best Christian he can, or she. Right? Don't forget that person. And then verse 25 also is key here. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful here, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. It's not hard to understand. Like I said, in studying this, so many verses talk about continuing. He who continues in it, in the works that we all know are right. Right? If you continue in that, you will be blessed. And that's what life's about, continuing. It's not a sprint. It's not a walk, but keep going, keep running. In Galatians 6, verse 9, another passage here. Galatians 6, 9, Paul says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. See, this is what happens when we do lose heart. What will happen, right? If we grow weary, if we do lose heart, we will reap what we sow. And we don't want that. Right, and that's the thing. Enduring. If we all knew the date, the exact date, and the exact time that our Lord and Savior was coming back, how would that change our actions? If I told you for a fact that we had no time left, and after I was done with this invitation, this lesson, if I told you for a fact after this was done that you have no more time, and that the Lord was coming back, would that change anything? How you feel? How you respond? Right, that's something we need to think about. Not losing heart. Enduring. Continuing. And if you haven't been continuing, then that's the time to make it right. Because we don't know when that 26.2 miles is up. Right? As we're running, you and I are running every day of our life. Maybe not literally, but spiritually, you and I are running. You know, we're passing mile markers. But do you know what those mile markers say? Good job. Keep going. Good job. There's not a mile marker 20 that says, hey, you're almost there. those mile markers are question marks. So keep running, because you never know when the 26.2 is going to be up. Revelation 3:11, I'm sorry, says, "Behold, I am coming quickly." Right, Jesus is coming quickly. "Hold fast to what you have." See, there's that steadfastness. Hold strong. Be strong. Don't lose hope. Keep going, that no one may take your crown. Right, and that is our call. Hold fast. That is your call. That is my call. That is everyone's call. Hold fast to that crown and don't lose hope. Right? And if you are losing hope, what you need to keep in mind is four things that I've found. First, something that we've talked about. Remember Christ's sacrifice. Remember Christ's sacrifice. And that'll put things a little more into perspective. Man, Jesus endured a lot. I can endure a friend saying that you're stupid for going to church or whatever it may be. Something great, something small. Right? Remember Jesus' sacrifice. Number two, remember that God's word is powerful. Number three, remember that God's plan will succeed. And if we continue, see, it's contingent here. It's contingent on my actions on this earth. If I continue, God's going to succeed no matter what. But if I continue, I can have that imperishable crown. And then the fourth, that God's promises are sure. God's not lying to us. He would never lie to us. Jesus would never lie to us. Right? So until then, you and I keep running. Keep running. So where are you at in your race? That's my question to you. Like I said, no one knows when the race is over, so keep running. I really appreciate the song that Mr. Tyler led right before number 457. I was just going to read this really quick because this speaks volumes to what I was just talking about. So it says, "If I walk in the pathway of duty, if I work till the close of the day, I shall see the great King in his beauty when I've gone the last mile of the way." What do you notice there? If I walk in the pathway of duty, if I do this, it's a contingent upon our actions each day. So keep running. That's my call. That's God's call. Keep running. Keep going. Right? In the second verse of this, "If for Christ I proclaim the glad story, if I seek for a sheep gone astray, I am sure he will show me his glory when I've gone the last mile of the way." There again, if I do this, if you do what? If you keep running spiritually, don't give up, endure, keep going, no matter how hard it is. Verse 3, "And if here I have earnestly striven," right? If on the earth I've earnestly kept going, if you have endured, "and have tried all his will to obey," that's what we endure, right? We endure to keep striving for his will. "If I do that, if I earnestly strive for that, it will enhance all the rapture of heaven when I've gone the last mile of the way." We don't know when that last mile is coming, but we're running, and until then, we keep passing those mile markers every day we wake up. Good job. Now do it again. Keep running. God's watching our every action. He's listening to us. Right? Keep going. So keep running. Right, and this race could be over at any point. So my question to you is, are you enduring and are you continually to run? Are you continually running the spiritual race that you signed up for? Are you? That's the question. Another question too is, are you in a spiritual race? Are you a child of God? If not, now's the time, because I can't guarantee when the Lord's coming back. I can't. So if you are not running a race, spiritually speaking, if you are not running a race and you fully acknowledge that you have sin in your life, you need to make that right. Keep running. Start running now. And if you've been a Christian, keep running. If things are going good, keep running. Good job. I'm proud of you. I really am. So keep running. Don't quit. And if you're a Christian out of duty, right? If you've been walking, if that last mile is uphill, don't slow down. Keep running. So if you have a need, come forward as we stand and sing.